This is Phil Ferrand.
Study's degree.
And I am driving home with the radio on. So we took care of the radio. It's Thursday today. I actually am going to come into my main client for a little bit tomorrow because they are closing the month. We usually close a couple of days after, so the month is closing today. And the guy who usually heads up the contributor services, or the donor team, I think is what they call it, he is on vacation, so I'm going to be on hand in case they need any help with anything as far as finishing up getting reports run or whatever like that. Hopefully everything will run smoothly. Occasionally, though, we have some network connectivity issues. Some things have to be restarted and like that, but it should be fine. Busy. Everything has been busy, but that's okay. Everything's moving forward. We're doing okay. It's been a good week. I've been able to get some things accomplished and, get some things knocked down. Going again to see my daughter tonight to record some stuff for Knit Central. And we should have that started back up here very, very, very soon. In fact, I think we were targeting for September 1st, but then our schedules just didn't work out to put on the last final touches. So we probably will get that going this weekend, maybe. We'll see. Anyways, so last week I started talking. Oh, it is episode 75, I believe. Last week I started talking about the Super Secret Project, which is a little device, a little desk stand for the iPhone and Android, 3G, 2G. It will work with the Droid X. It will work with the new Droid 2. Just depends on where the camera is, that sort of thing. That has a couple of mirrors in it and allows you to switch your rear-facing camera into a front-facing camera. And it's interesting because I tell people that and they go, oh, that's cool. You know. And then you show it to them and they go, oh, well, that's cool. And then when they actually use it to do some video calling, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, okay, I'd probably spend money for this. So, you know, we're going to have to get through those marketing hoops to get people to see that, yeah, this is pretty interesting. And not only is it cool, but it's actually useful. I had a friend last night that had taken one home. And even for all he has seen and played with it, it wasn't until he actually dialed me up on Fring. And we were sitting there talking, and he had just had a new baby. And he went, oh, yeah, here's a new baby, and held up the new baby. And I'm like, hey, cute baby, you know. And all of a sudden, then today when I was talking to him, he said, yeah. He said, I get it. He said, that's pretty cool. I said, yeah, it is pretty cool. So, anyways, I'm always happy when I see Apple pushing FaceTime and pushing new devices that can run FaceTime because I'm like, yep, Apple, just keep pushing those devices because all those 55 million people out there with an iPhone 3GS are going to want to do this too. And they're not going to be able to do it unless they have some kind of little device like I'm building. So we'll see. Anyway, so as I said last week, this idea popped into my head last March. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. And one of the things I try to do is keep ideas from just dribbling out my ear. And so the first thing that I thought is, well, let's just see if we can build this thing and see if it'll work. So, because I had in my brain an idea about what the size of the mirrors should be and all that sort of thing. But there's no substitute for doing it. So instead of pontificating to say, oh, we could do this and we could do this, it's always good just to go build one. So I went to Hobby Lobby and built it. And it actually took a couple of passes because there was some engineering in it that was a bit surprising, but got through that. And immediately had a bunch of friends, started making suggestions about, well, you could do this and you could do that, and how about if we do this and how about if we do that? And so I started, you know, that's the next thing. The first thing is try to see if it's even possible. And then the next step is to just say, okay, well, what if we were going to build it, what would it look like and how can we get there? And so I started talking to friends and, you know, about this, that, and the other. They gave me some suggestions. As it turned out, you know, I backed up from those suggestions eventually, but that's okay. We'll cover that maybe this week, maybe next week. But the first thing was to figure out, okay, how do we do this? I've never done an actual hard product before. How do we create this? Well, if you're going to do something like plastic injection molding stuff, you've got to have something engineered. And so I started looking around. And years ago, I had had a friend that had come and said, you know, I got this great idea for a product, but I don't know anything about this. And what do I do? I said, I don't know. I said, let me ask around. Let me see what there is to see. So I kind of chased it down the road a little bit and asked around. And at that point, this was years and years ago, to get a mold done was like $25,000 to $30,000. And so there was a pretty steep commitment there just to get that done. And you had to hire everybody, somebody to do the engineering for you, and then someone to actually machine the mold for you, and all those things. And so I went back to my friend and kind of told them what I had found, and they said, oh, never mind. So I didn't really know what the state of the state was, and so I started doing some investigating. And one of the first things that I hopped on to try to find out is someone already doing this? Because if someone's already doing it and it's established in the market and they're going great guns, you really need to have a much, you know, you have to decide why they're not working or their design is inferior to your design. There's a lot of things that you need to decide to figure out who your market is and how to push against that inertia that they already have in the market. And so I searched iPhone mirrors, iPhone self-portrait, iPhone thing. I looked and looked and looked, could not find anything. I found people who were talking about the idea. Some people were saying, wouldn't it be great if someone just made like a little periscope that you could put on the back of your camera and it would have a couple of mirrors in it, and then you could, you know, you could see. And I actually found a couple of guys who had a company where they were writing video conferencing software in 2007, and they had built something similar to what I was thinking about, not quite the same, but similar, and they had it working. But the way they had gone about it, it actually flipped the image upside down, and so they were writing video conferencing software that had an image flip in it to flip it back the other way. But I did some investigating on them, and the last time I heard any mention of them was 2007. So I thought, well, okay, so there was somebody there that, you know, was kind of out in the market, but they don't really appear to be doing anything. And searched and searched and searched, couldn't find anybody. So I thought, well, okay, now that we know that that's there and there isn't just a huge overriding pressure from other products that are out there. I mean, for instance, I would not try to go out and invent a new car or invent a new smartphone, because there are players in the market that are huge, that have a ton of resources, and that's a really hard push. It's hard to come up with something really, truly unique. Not to say there aren't instances where you would go up against a market that's very well established, but in this case, I just couldn't find anybody. So I thought, well, fine. So the next thing is now how do we get the engineering done? So then I started talking to my friends, because I'm really big on the thought that, you know, if you're going at it, if you just get quiet and you listen and you talk around, that the doors will open for you. And if it's something you're supposed to be doing, you just keep moving a step at a time and everything will work out. And part of that process is to keep money out of the equation. Now, what I mean by that is not necessarily... not be mindful of the cost. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about keeping fortune hunting out of the equation. Don't keep imagining, oh, and then I get this, and then I make this product, and then I'll sell a million of them, and then I'll be rich, and then I won't have to work anymore. Don't do that, because it's going to distort your whole viewpoint of what this project's all about. Keep yourself focused on what is the next step, what are the costs, does it make sense to move forward? So I talked to this buddy, talked to that buddy, talked to that buddy, got some leads on some people, went and actually met with a couple of people who had done some work in plastics. Unfortunately, the response that I kept getting from all of them, as soon as I showed them the little thing I had done in foam core, they said, oh yeah, I don't do anything that precise. Oh, okay. I ended up talking to a buddy of a buddy, and I'd just take people out to eat. You know, I'd say, listen, I'd like to take you, pick your brain. Can I just buy you lunch? And people go, yeah, sure, no problem. So, because I'm trying to find out as much as I can about this whole design process and what there is. I'm scouring the internet. I'm looking for information on injection molding. I finally find a buddy of a buddy who's done a lot of work in Google SketchUp. So I take him and his buddy to lunch, and we talk about it, and I show him the thing, and I say, you know, I don't know anything about this. Just have no idea how this works, what I should do. And he had brought his laptop along, and he said, well, I probably shouldn't show you this, because I was willing to pay him to design. He says, I probably shouldn't show you this, but let me show you Google SketchUp. Okay. He pulls out Google SketchUp. And within just a matter of minutes, I mean, he's going whack, whack, boom, 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 you know, putting things in place. And I'm like, hey, he said, you know, you could do this. I'm like, well, yeah, maybe. In conjunction with that, I had done a lot of reading on the internet about plastic injection molding. And there are all kinds of PDFs out there on the web about how to design for plastic injection molding. How to do snap fit, all that kind of stuff. I actually broke down and ordered a book. The book was ridiculously expensive. It was $50 or $60, something like that, for this book that was like the first book of handbook of snap fit design. But at that stage, I need information. In order to make a good decision, I need information. And so I knew that with this physical product, it's going to cost a lot of money, and spending $75 or $50 or $60, I can't remember, it was high. It was a little hardback book. I think it was like 250 pages. I knew that if this is someone who's designed SnapFit all his life and now he's writing this handbook about it that's used in teaching, I should probably get this and read this book. So I ordered the book. I spent days just reading stuff on the internet, looking, reading, absorbing all the information I could possibly absorb. And I came to the conclusion that, you know what? I think I can do this. This makes sense. So once I kind of decided that I could do it, then the next question is, okay, how are you going to do it? So that drove me to the internet again. Lots more research. What tools exist out there for me to do this? How complicated are they? What do you need to be able to make this work? Do I even stand a ghost of a chance of doing this? And I concluded that, well, the tools are out there. They're not bleeding edge tools. They aren't just out of the box now. They're very mature tools. Read, you know, a lot of articles about how to use them, watch some demos. Again, gathering information, preparing the field. We talked last week about how everything in life really is like farming. So once I had the seed and I had had something that had the potential to grow, the next step is you got to prepare the field. So I did some research, did more and more research, eventually decided, you know, I think I can design this. But the problem is I've never done this before. And at some point, I'm going to have to commit to having a mold made. And, you know, do I really want to go from just a virtual representation of it straight to the mold, since I've never done this before? And I was comforted a bit in that I got looking around, and in fact, there are places that can do rapid prototyping for you, so you can send off this mold, this file to them, and they will create one for you out of plastic. And the prices seemed fairly reasonable. $150, $200. And I thought, well, okay. You know, that's pretty cool. So I could do this as an iterative process, which I would need because I don't know what I'm doing. Once you get a lot of experience, you don't need to necessarily engage in iterative processes. Things that you work and then you make a small change, and then you work some more and make a small change, work some more. You have many iterations. I'm to the point now as a SQL programmer that I can pretty much, if I'm paying attention, write the SQL statement and just run it and it's right. When I started doing SQL, that's not the way it was. I would write the statement, and then it would error off, and then I would have to look, and then it would run, but it wouldn't give me the right results, and then I'd have to tweak it, and then, you know, you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I knew, because I didn't know what I was doing, that this was going to be a process with many iterations, many versions. It would be an iterative process. So that meant it didn't make sense for me to believe that I had the capability to design this thing on the computer and then suddenly push it right to the mold. I would have to go through multiple versions. I knew that. Just FYI, as it turned out, what is being priced right now for molds is actually version 27. So I went through a lot of versions. Okay, so now I know there's a tool that I could use. I kind of have an understanding about how I'm supposed to go about this. I know that the process I will engage in is going to have many versions, but I have a way that I can get that done as well. So now comes the point where I have to make a decision. Am I going to try to do this myself? Does that make sense? Well, I look back at my life, and there's been a bunch of stuff in my life that I've taught myself how to do. So it's not that I've never done that before. I'm pretty good with computers, so I've got that edge. I have built things in the past. I mean, I was looking around, and I wanted a certain kind of desk that cost like $3,500, and I wasn't about to spend that much for that desk. And so I looked around and found the lift mechanism on eBay for like $600. I'm getting my mail. And I thought, well, I really would like to have an adjustable, fully adjustable desk. And so I looked around there, and so I ordered the lift mechanism, and I got it in, and I built the top for it and sanded it down and, you know, did the whole polyurethaning thing and staining and yada, yada, yada. And I have a desk, and it works perfectly fine. And there was a little bit of engineering involved to strengthen some areas and those kind of things, but I anticipated that. And so it's not like I've never built something in the physical world before. I have built things. I just haven't tried to build things as a product. So in looking down what was required for this and what skill sets I had, I decided, you know, probably the way I design things, I'm backing into my garage, I'm going to want to take time to design it where it gets to the point where I'm happy with it. And in order to do that, The big killer is going to be time. Because if I'm paying somebody $75 or $80 an hour or $100 an hour to do the design work on it, and they're not a really good designer, this is going to eat my lunch. And so it probably makes more sense for me to do it myself. And the fact is that fits with my philosophy of life, because epics, quests, and adventures are those things that only you can do, that if you do not do them, there will be a gap in the world, that no one can stop you from doing it. And at the end of the day, the best epic quest and adventure is that thing that you start from scratch and you just do it. Not that I wasn't going to make strategic alliances, but I felt like this was something that I could teach myself how to do. I could come out with a greater skill set. It would be interesting. It would be a challenge. And all of that was worthwhile for me to spend some money on it. So with all that in mind, I decided, okay, I'm doing it myself. Under different circumstances, maybe I would have hired people to do it. But at the end of the day with this, I thought, yeah, let's give it a shot. So last week I talked about, once you get that seed, once you start that, then don't let it dribble out your ear. You know, start gathering some information. This week, the next thing is once you decide, yeah, there might be something to this, do your homework. Don't just rush into it optimistically like everything's going to be great. Do your homework. Do as much research as you can. Figure out what you're up against. And realistically look at your abilities and your capabilities and your levels of discipline and all those things, and realistically look at it and say, is this a challenge that I wish to embark on? And if it is, then go for it. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.